Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Time for Microbrew Brewers Chatter, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe in the studio at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel headquarters. And across from me is Kurt Hoag, Brewers reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Kurt, what are you doing with your off season, man?
Sitting on the couch.
Nice.
And apparently coming into the office.
Yeah.
Podcast with you.
Now, hold on. You make it sound like I dragged you in here or something. First of all, this was your idea.
This was my idea, yes.
And we got Chipotle. Which is famously a Chipotle where we once saw Christian Yelich and then on a separate occasion saw Pat Connaughton. It's a very famous Chipotle.
It's a big Chipotle. It's the place where we saw Christian Yelich the day after he sat in that famous 2018 September game against the Cubs where the Brewers were a few games back and he was not in the lineup and it was a big fuss.
This is a very stupid story that we've told a lot of people, but yes, this was in 2018. He had not played in a game down the stretch in September against the Chicago Cubs. Everybody was freaking out about it, like, oh, can you sit Christian Yelich during the best part of the season, most important part of the season? And as we were talking about him, I believe, or just after we were done talking about him, he walked in the door. That was a little surreal, even for people, you know, like we see these guys around in coverage, but we don't see them in the wild. That's a whole separate ball game.
Well, I seem to run into them constantly on my first year on the beat this year. So previously I did not, and then all of a sudden I started covering the team, and then they're running into them everywhere. And
yeah,
so that's that.
It was cooler then before I think, were we both preparators? No, I must not have been a preparator at that point in 2018. But yes, what a worthless story that we're telling to intro this. The Milwaukee Brewers. We should talk about them. We wanted to touch base a little bit on the free agency situation. What we can expect from this Brewers team in this offseason. We haven't had much happen since we last spoke, although the team did pick up Colton Wong's option, $10 million option for the 2023 season. That caught me off guard a little bit, I'm not going to lie. And so we'll talk about that. And then I think we should name some names, get into people that we think would be perfect for this Milwaukee Brewers team. If I don't want to say money were no object, because we're not going to be like, oh, they should sign Aaron Judge. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to waste your time. You know, looking at maybe the free agents trade market a little bit and see maybe who could help this Brewers team in 2023, where they're deficient and where they might be able to get a boost and in a realistic vein too. So we'll start though with Colton Wong. I admit when I was talking about Colton Wong during the season, as far as I really don't think they're going to pick up his option. It seemed like a done deal to me that they wouldn't. $10 million is a lot. It's really only $8 million when you consider the buyout and everything. But I didn't look at the free agency list of second basemen before making that proclamation. It felt like the right call in a vacuum, a veteran second baseman who had declined defensively, even though he had a very good offensive season. Then I looked at the second baseman, and now it's like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. Because the recently released Gene Segura is probably, I don't think it's even arguable, I think he's the best second baseman on the free agency market right now. I don't know if anyone's going to be clamoring for that. So outside of the vacuum, this made a lot of sense to me. What did you think about it when you heard the news that Colton Wong was coming back?
Well, not only is Segura probably the best second baseman, but I just pulled up his Fangraphs estimated contract. It's 2 years, $13 million per year, so 2 years, 26. And so that makes Colton Wong's market, you know, that contract is very reasonable, especially considering how he's hit. And not only is the second base market thin in the free agency, you think third base as well, which is related as we discuss the Brewers infield, because
that's a good point.
If Colton Wong's not there, it's Luis Urias probably sliding over to second base, Bryce Turang as well. And now you've got a gap at third base. And outside of, you know, Justin Turner, who's probably just going to re-up with the Dodgers again, unless you want to do a retread of what was that, the 2021 offseason, where Justin Turner was flirting with the Brewers apparently, but I don't think that was ever really going to come to fruition. So yeah, it makes sense. I think the price tag is something more than the Brewers would normally pay on the open market. You know, I don't think necessarily they would have gone out of their way to acquire Colton Wong if he was not already in-house for 1 year and 10 mil. But the thing is, they need that known commodity. I think there was a lot of people that were kind of expecting Bryce Terang to get handed the keys to the car. And considering the position the Brewers are in, you know, they're contending for a World Series, or at least they would like to think they are, contending for a playoff spot, contending for a division. And Bryce Terang has never played in the major leagues. I'm not sure you want to be in a spot where he is suddenly tasked with the burden of an everyday job.
Yeah, I admit I thought Bryce Terang was pretty likely to make the team out of camp as a utility guy, if nothing else. I no longer really think that's an obvious situation. Maybe they do want to give him a little more seasoning, although he's been in the minors for a long time now. And it seems like he hasn't developed yet the power stroke. It's kind of coming along. But other than that, it seems like, not that he's got nothing left to prove. He hasn't torn it up at AAA. But at some point, you say to yourself, that guy is a big leaguer, or, you know, you move on. And I don't think I think the franchise really likes him. So I guess I'm curious where you think. Does he start the year with the Brewers anyway? Is he more of like a midseason guy? Is he just not part of their big picture? I don't know. I mean, you know, you sign Colton Wong to 1 year deal. That certainly doesn't preclude Bryce Terang from being your second baseman in 2024 or anything like that. I figured if this team is as cost conscious as it seems to be, that would be one way to do it, to have Bryce Terang be an infielder on opening day in 2023.
I think that putting a guy such as Terang in a position to sort of be a utility player coming up, you know, that's his role, and then seeing if he can ascend from that is probably a good spot to be in. He can play lots of positions. He's got a good glove. We'll see about the bat. You kind of mentioned the power. It's really started showing up for the first time ever in his pro career this year. So that's still got to come into play a little bit, although there's some scouts that have said that they think he's going to be a guy. Him as well as Sal Frelick, like, they're going to be guys that start hitting more homers at the big league level than they ever did at the minor league level, just some of those guys that come into that power swing later. So I think it's a good spot to have Terang in, as you know, you're not banking on him to be the guy who gets 500 plate appearances when you're trying to compete with the Cardinals and the Dodgers and the Braves and all these guys.
Third base is tricky. Yeah, because I think if you had Luis Urias at second in a platoon with Colton Wong, that would work really, really well. Now Colton Wong's being paid $8 million. That's not a platoon contract per se, but it is a one-year situation. He did hit the ball very well against right-handers last year, not so much against lefties. And Luis Urias, of course, being a right-handed bat, would fit that complement. It would give, you know, it wouldn't give him as many at-bats as he's had. He did have a really nice 2021 season, and then, you know, kind of backslid a little bit in 2022, Luis Urias did. So I don't know what to make of him. I think if he's your starting third baseman, something probably went a little wrong. I mean, that didn't really work a whole lot for them last year, and I think if they had their druthers, they would find somebody. But you mentioned the third base free agent class. I mean, like you said, Justin Turner, 38 years old, is probably at the top of the list, and he's unlikely to, you know, he's probably going to go back to the Dodgers. They have a club option. And then Joey Wendell, who's 33, they have a mutual option there. That's not a name people are going to be like, oh, Joey Wendell, you know, bring him in. I mean, he's a four-win player, so he's certainly worth discussing and actually would probably be a pretty good upgrade. But again, we're not talking about world beaters at third base here. So Luis Urias starting third baseman, or do they just have to find something, whether it's trade or something else?
I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with going with Urias at third base, considering the other places where they need upgrades on the roster. And his 2021 was not as bad or as much of a step back as I think a lot of people think it
you
was.
You mean 22?
His 2022, yes, compared to his rookie – or that wasn't his rookie season, but his first year with the Brewers, in 2021. He didn't – you know, he hit, 23 homers? Yeah, 23 homers. In that first year and 16 this year, and battled some injuries, but he, for the most part, you know, he had a 112 WRC plus in 2021, 110 last year, and was better defensively this last year. So I think that it's a step, maybe not a step completely in the right direction, but
not a step back per se.
Yes, and given I think there were some of the issues with the finger injury he had early on and missing the first month of the season. I think there's reason to believe you could get a 3.5 win player out of him. He's still, only 25. So considering some of the other spots the Brewers need to upgrade, like catcher, probably got to add some guys to the bullpen, some starting pitching depth. Third base may not be a spot where you go out and spend money. I also have a tough time seeing them not committing to Urias as a starter somewhere. That's kind of how they've treated him for the last two seasons of clearly wanting to commit to the guy, so I don't see them backtracking from that.
Yeah, 30-year-old Brandon Drury, who was the midseason acquisition by the Padres, might be another guy in free agency. But like you said, you know, they're not going to break the bank for one of the guys at the top of that list. So as far as what big moves they might make that aren't necessarily free agency related, because I do think if we go into the offseason expecting the Brewers to just spend more than they have in the past, we'll be disappointed, as we often are. Like, they probably acknowledge that they need to upgrade the roster in some way, but I don't know. MLB.com had this story about the best trade chip for every team, and Corbin Burns is at the front and center of that graphic. Of course, the Cy Young winner in 2021 had another tremendous year this past season. And I guess if the Brewers feel like they're not going to sign him to a long-term deal, this might be the time to strike and move him and presumably get a pretty nice King's ransom back. Now, it's never as good a return as you think it's going to be when you're talking about one player. And furthermore, I feel like that would be a little bit of a white flag wave to say, okay, we definitely don't think we can sign Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff. Even though we've got these two top flight talented pitchers, we just can't do it. So we're gonna move on before that comes back to bite us. I think that would be really rough. The fan base would not react well to that at all. I don't know if they care about that, but that would be a bloodbath. I am curious, Kurt, if you think what the wisdom would be right now. Let's say it's at least unknown if they can sign him, and what maybe they should do then with Corbin Burns if now is the time to trade him.
I would not be super optimistic about the Brewers signing Burns if you kind of put all the pieces together. I mean, the comments he had to Adam McKelvey publicly earlier this year about them not having presented an extension with him. So there's going to be ground to make up. He's, you know, friends with Josh Hader and how that whole thing played out. Same agency as Josh Hader. And not only that, but he's 2-3 years younger than Brandon Woodruff, and he's still coming at basically peak value right now, so an extension would cost a lot of money, especially relative to, you know, he can see what these guys are getting on the open market, and he's going to see what they're getting, and he's going to see that, oh, that's coming for me in a couple of years as easily the best pitcher on the free agent market. So while there's always security that comes along with an extension, and we could see maybe the two sides get together and work something out, I would not be super optimistic about it.
This is a bummer, Kurt. I don't want to hear that. What about Brandon Woodruff? What do you think it's the similar situation for him, or is it a little more likely there?
I think it's a little more likely. I don't think that was something that had been brought up either, at least during the season. I'm sure there's some sort of negotiations about it this offseason, but yeah, probably a little more likely because of the age, and I think it's a little bit of the injury history, and then those two factors probably. But I will say this about trading Burns this offseason. I don't think it will happen. I think there will certainly be lots of discussion about it, but I just don't see a team in the offseason where there's just so much more available to you in the offseason. Like, there's many avenues to acquire a good pitcher. Now, granted, a pitcher like Corbin Burns on his contract, not so much, but there's still ways to get really good pitchers, and so it might just keep the return down from what the Brewers want. And that's not even to mention that I don't think they should trade him.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. Okay, let's get into some names of people that we think could benefit this team. And, you know, obviously some of this will come down to what they end up doing with their own guys. You know, like, you know, how big is the need in certain places? Depends on if they decide, you know, like Brett Boxberger, for example, is a reliever. I think you and I both expect that they will pick up his option. As we record this, that's not a done deal, but we're going to find out soon enough about some of these guys. So this is always subject to change, but wanted to just come up with a list of some guys that we think the Brewers would be really well served by going after. And some of them are names that have been talked about before, or have been talked about, have been talked about like just in midseason as sort of a pipe dream. So I will let you start. You're the genius here. So tell me, give me the name at the top of your list.
Yeah, let's name some guys. And hopefully this goes as well as our trade deadline name some guys went. We went over a million.
Yeah, we were shut out dramatically. In fairness to us, we definitely, most of those guys did not move teams. So we were throwing out some of the obvious names. Yes, Matt Bush, nowhere on our radar. Taylor Rogers.
I think Matt Bush was the only guy, like, if you had looked closely, that probably would have even been, like, in contention to be traded.
Yeah. It was very rough. But I know we've spoken some of these names into existence. So what is the first one on your list?
I think the first one is, I'm going to go with the big one. Well, at least the relative big one. And it's Jose Abreu.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a fantastic fit on the roster. Granted, you already have your first baseman, Rowdy Tellez, but hey, guess what? There's a designated hitter spot now, and if you do want to move off of Rowdy Tellez, you could. That would be a decision they have to make, but they swing from opposite sides, and we saw a bunch of times how the Brewers were kind of in a tough spot facing lefties at first base last year. His track record is remarkable. He's been one of the best consistent hitters in baseball. He's getting a little older, but it hasn't seemed to hurt him yet. And the Brewers were in this was a whole different regime, but the Brewers were very, very much in on him when he was initially coming out of Cuba, I believe, as a free agent for the first time from then when the White Sox signed him. That was what, mid-2000s. So. It would be the bat in the middle of the lineup that the Brewers they need. I mean, they have a pretty good offense, but they don't have a guy like that in the middle.
Yeah, I guess I just wonder if they're going to get a guy like that in the middle. Because this past season, they were really committed to just everybody's good, but nobody's great, right? That's sort of the offensive mentality. And we've talked about how that looked really bad a lot of the time, but also when it shook out at the end of the season, it wasn't that bad. They were not one of the bottom teams on offense by any means. In the current environment, it was fine. So if they determine that that is workable, I think you got to take a bigger swing if you're going to get a big guy. I mean, Jose Abreu has had a good career. I don't know how old is he? I'm trying to remember. He's like
36, I
believe.
Yeah,
he's definitely in the twilight of his at least on paper in his playing career. And I just don't know if that is going to be enough to really give them the thump and the, you know, I don't want to say star power because I don't think that ultimately matters, but it might matter a little bit after attendance was as down as it was this past year. It might matter that they have somebody that fans know. And obviously, Jose Abreu is a name. Like, he's not nothing by any means. But I feel like that's an Andrew McCutchen level addition.
He's
better offensively. He's better offensively, but Andrew McCutchen can at least, I think, credibly play the field. He didn't, and that wasn't why he was brought here. But like, there's Jose Abreu is your DH.
I think Jose Abreu would play the field more than Andrew McCutchen did.
At first base,
yeah.
Okay, and you think Rowdy then becomes your DH primarily.
I mean,
I just hate the idea of boxing in the DH. I know that's something I'm always stuck on, but I hate the idea that it has to be then one of those two guys. I mean, obviously guys can sit out or whatever, but like, I feel like Christian Yelich has to be the DH, you know? He's struggled in left field. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking
What if I told you, so I'm reading his steamer projections off Fangraphs. He has a 126 WRC plus projection.
That'll fit right in with the top shelf of the Brewers players.
That would be 448 slugging. I mean, that a couple of these numbers would probably go up with the Brewers.
With
he's been pretty healthy too throughout his career. So
that is true.
It's all right. It's just the marriage of like a really good bat with the sort of the low years higher average annual value that the Brewers have tended to operate, and we'll see if that's kind of Matt Arnold's thing. It was David Stern's MO for a couple years there, those kind of contracts. So whether or not it's still the Brewers type, we'll see. But it has fit the mold in past years.
All right, I'm going to go, in my opinion, a little bigger, although it's not on the offensive side. I'm going to say Carlos Rodon, who is 30 years old. He was an ace for the Giants this past year. Former Brewers first-round draft pick who did not sign. First round, that's incorrect. Wildly incorrect. Just a Brewers draft pick who did not sign. He is the best pitcher available on the market. So therefore, that probably rules him out for the Brewers, you know, for the Brewers' purposes. I guess Jacob deGrom is technically the biggest name on the market. But I guess the biggest name that I consider, even within the realm of possibility, Carlos Rodon. I don't know if the Brewers have it within them to do that. But I do think that if they were to add truly a special next starting pitcher to pair with Burns and Woodruff and Peralta and theoretically Eric Lauer, I mean, that's incredible 1-5. And we saw injuries this year, and we know how quickly things can devolve when a couple guys get banged up. But you still have Adrian Hauser theoretically, although I don't know for sure if we're going to have Adrian Hauser here in 2023. But there are other guys who are there who are options going forward. They do not have anybody in the minor leagues who's going to come up as a starting pitcher and make a huge difference this year, with the possible exception of Robert Gasser? Do we know?
It's Gasser, I believe, yeah.
All right, with the possible exception of Robert Gasser, one of the two prospects brought over from the Padres deal, but he has been very aggressively pushed through the minor leagues. I doubt that he's going to start the year in the big league on the big league team. He's got plenty of seasoning still to go. So I don't think they can get pitching help through the system next year, you know, for 23 or 24, really. Not really. So obviously surprises bubble up and whatnot. But if they can get Carlos Rodon, this is a team that this is a World Series caliber team. I mean, offense being what it is, they could still absolutely compete for that.
Yes. I agree.
But they won't get
them. But they won't. Do you see the Brewers paying for the highest starting pitcher contract on the market ever?
I think it's a situation. Everybody always sees the window where they think now is the time to go all in, right? Everyone thinks that – everyone sees a moment where they think that that is the moment. I do think that is the case here because I don't know what the future holds for the rest of the key starters. But you're right. I doubt that the Brewers are going to commit that sort of financial commitment.
Yeah, if Rodon was maybe on the other side of 30, I could possibly – I really couldn't see the Brewers doing it. I could see them maybe flirting with the idea a bit more, because then once you're done with this current group of, you know, Woodruff, Burns, or, you know, whoever's gone from that, Rodon kind of bridges the gap to that next group of players as they try to – as they talk about all the time, avoid the lulls. But yeah, no, you're shooting for the stars there, and I don't think it's going to happen.
It is worth pointing out that while he's been amazing the last two seasons with the White Sox and the Giants respectively, the track record hasn't always been there. I mean, he's sort of in this, you know, 28, 29, 30, that's kind of the prime, but, you know, 2020, that little tiny season, he was terrible in very limited amount of work. He had some injury stuff. 2019, he only pitched in 7 games. And before that, you're talking about ERAs in the fours. So I guess I could say, well, if you think these last 2 years are for real, that's good. Otherwise, you just can't commit resources to a guy who's going to be a 4+ ERA pitcher. I could also see that being the argument.
And this doesn't just apply to Rodon. It applies to some other starting pitchers like Justin Verlander, a couple other guys, you know, at the top of the market like that. If they don't get the deal they want, I think Justin Verlander will have no problem getting the deal he wants. But if some of these guys don't get the deal that they want and they want to take a 1 to 2 year deal with the, you know, $26-27 million annual average value, then that should be the circumstance in which the Brewers would strike on Rodon.
I hope Verlander does not get the deal he wants and comes to Milwaukee looking for a 1 year really rich deal. Come on, let's do it.
Is he on our list?
He should be on our list.
He is not, but we'll count. I kind of wanted to lump him in with Rodon in that way. Yeah. I do think you're getting to the right point with starting pitching depth, though. They need another guy. I do think, though, in terms of like the organizational depth, they don't have it necessarily, like you were saying. But I do believe that the Brewers see Aaron Ashby still as like...
Yeah, I should have mentioned him.
Because, I mean, theoretically, this should have been the year where he kind of came up and provided that. But I believe that they believe that everything from him is going to be way better. Like, the groundwork has been laid. He's just got to figure a few things out. Like, the Brewers are really high on Aaron Ashby. We'll see if it works out. There just seem to be like a couple big things missing from him, you know, becoming a good pitcher last year, but he was still, what, 23? So,
yeah.
So that is a big thing for them in terms of their starting pitching depth next year. But I'm going to keep going on starting pitching depth.
All right, what do we got?
A guy who is well versed with the Brewers and the rest of the NL Central.
Is it Jordan Lyles?
Jose Quintana.
Oh,
although Jordan Lyles, I was convinced they were going to trade for him at the deadline.
Yeah, Jose Quintana. If you can't beat him, sign him. Right. That's
absolutely
how it goes.
Although the Brewers did know
they have fared.
I think they beat him once this
they
year.
They have fared much better against Jose Quintana than we think they have. There's just this sort of like it's just canon or whatever, It's a little apocryphal. He's very good against the Brewers, but like it's not crazy. But anyway, continue.
It basically turned into an Aramis Ramirez situation. He's pitched everywhere in the NL Central but Milwaukee.
Let's go.
So I mean, I legitimately think like there's you know you're going to get what 160 innings out of the guy. He's kind of gotten his career right back on the right track after this year in Pittsburgh. In St. Louis, he looked, you know, like a good version of Jose Quintana, not peak Jose Quintana, but you could probably nab him for what, 2 years, $20 million or something like that, and put him in as your number three starter, and that's big for your depth.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys in that realm, sort of four-win players who are going to be available. And that's common, I would say. But, you know, even like Wade Miley, a guy that the Brewers are familiar with, Jameson Taillon from the Yankees, Sean Manaea, who he ended up with the Padres. I forget where
he was really bad.
Yeah, he really struggled with the Padres, but had been good before that. He was a big trade acquisition. Corey Kluber, he's 37 years old, former Cy Young winner. He's obviously not pitching at the level Verlander is, but you could see the Brewers getting involved with one or two of those guys, and that would probably make more sense for them financially.
Kluber's a good name. I mean, that's probably a one-year deal right there. So,
yeah, we love one-year deals. One-year deals. Well, more importantly, the Brewers love one-year deals. The low-level commitment, one-year, you know, the money can go a little higher. The longevity is less. But I don't know, if you're 30, like 37 is Kluber, I feel like that's probably, give me a little multi-year so I can get through the rest of my career, I feel like. But
It takes two to tango.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Let's go. We need a catcher, Kurt. The Milwaukee Brewers did not get any production on their catcher spot. Victor Caratini had a very tough job coming in just before the season started because of a little bit of an emergency situation. And he had some big hits, and he was fun. And Omar Narvaez had some decent hits. Overall, the production, absolutely not there. They need a catcher. And that is maybe, it's arguably their biggest issue. There's a guy in Oakland, Sean Murphy.
Bunting. Oh, no, that's Tampa.
My extremely stupid joke is somehow making a connection between him and Sean Murphy Bunting, a cornerback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was involved in that NFC Championship game. I'm immediately digressing. Sean Murphy, the catcher for Oakland, is really pretty solid as catchers go. And he had a nice year offensively. And I'm not talking about like bank-breaking, incredible, can't believe it. But, you know, 120 OPS plus is pretty good for a catcher. And I guess it's all baked in. But very good defensively, won a gold glove last year. He's going to win a gold glove again this year. Well, I have no idea what the gold gloves actually do, but he's a finalist this year and is probably going to win his second straight gold glove. Former rookie of the year candidate back in that ridiculous 2020 year. But he's solid, and he's going to be 28 years old, going to be entering the prime of his career. Oakland is perpetually looking to sell things off. I don't really know what they would be, you know, I'm not smart enough to know what Oakland would be looking for, what sort of package of minor leaguers or whatever it would take to get Sean Murphy, but that is a quality catcher, and the Brewers would absolutely, I think stand to gain if they could get their hands on him.
Yeah, the free agent market's not great at catcher. I mean, Wilson Contreras is there, but there's certainly going to be some team that pays for Wilson.
Yeah, and you wouldn't want to pay for that. He's 31 years old, and he's not good defensively. Like, I don't know what are you getting there?
Catcher on the wrong side of 30.
Who has a bad track record. Yep. Yeah. I mean, all of the best catchers out there, and this is understandable, they're all in their 30s. Every single one on MLB's free agent list is past 30.
Yeah, Mike Zunino, I mean, is a free agent, but he's coming off an awful year, which maybe the Brewers could, you know, throw him a low contract.
Gary Sanchez just got
Gary
released.
Gary Sanchez.
Christian Vasquez coming off of the
Christian
ring.
Christian Vasquez is an interesting name. I think he's definitely a starting quality and would be an upgrade over what the Brewers currently have. But if they're going to get a catcher, I think they would be wise to acquire it on the trade market.
Yeah.
I mean, the Blue Jays have three guys that they're going to have to trade at least one of them, Danny Jansen, Alejandro Kirk, and then one of their top prospects, Gabriel Moreno.
Bring Danny Jansen home. Appleton native. Let's go.
Rowdy Tellez is officiated his wedding.
That's right. They're like best buds.
They're best buds.
Let's do it. That's going to happen.
So
We're calling it right now. The guy wears specs. He's very easy to love.
Danny Jansen would be an underrated, really, really good ad for the Brewers this offseason. He would not cost nearly as much as Kirk. They're probably not going to trade Moreno. But they have to trade at least one of those guys, right? And I'm sure there will be other teams. There's a lot of teams that need a catcher, like the Cardinals are one. So we shall see. But yeah. But Brewers need a catcher, and they have plenty.
Yeah, they will need a catcher. That's true. And Narvaez, free agent. I don't know what the Caratini situation is contractually, but it doesn't matter. They need another one.
Burns for Alejandro Kirk, straight up. Who says no?
Okay.
Who says no?
Well, okay, so Alejandro Kirk, first of all, actually, I do think the Brewers say no, but it's at least...
I was going to say, I think the Blue Jays
okay,
say
so
no.
Okay, so there we go. Everybody hates the deal. Kirk is 5'8", I think, maybe shorter, 5'7". I don't know, an absolute king. This tiny, stocky little dude who was an amazing catcher and destroyed people this year. An incredible, incredible season. Alejandro Kirk.
He's in the J.R. Radcliffe phylum of catchers.
Let me tell you, I'm a 40-year-old man. I would not hesitate to throw down money to buy that jersey the second that man is a member of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Speaking of Kirk, there is a Brewers player who refers to me as Kirk.
That's right.
Because he said I remind him of Alejandro Kirk.
Oh!
by being tall and lanky.
I was
going to
say,
we are the same body type.
With all due respect, I know Rowdy Tellez is a very tall man, so when he looks down, maybe a lot of people look similar, but like you are about Rowdy Tellez's height. I don't think that you fit the Alejandro Kirk mold. I'm just throwing that out there. Well, I think it's not a good I think it's a misnomer. Very weird. What else you got? Who else is next on your list?
Who else is next on my list? Well, I was debating how much do I really want to push the needle here? Do I want to rock the boat?
We can rock whatever boat we want. Let's rock it. Let's go.
Trevor Rosenthal.
Jesus, hold on. I mean, what are you doing? What? Kurt, you have to explain yourself.
I'm dead serious, too.
I know you are. I know you're serious. I can see it. I need a minute. Explain yourself.
I have not heard a team sing the praises of a player that they've acquired in the way that they sing the praises of Trevor Rosenthal after they traded for him. I mean, you would have like – the way they talked about him, you would have thought he was ready to come out and immediately win the Reliever of the Year award.
And in the alternate reality where a player who hasn't pitched in 2 years and continues to not pitch would work out.
And then he suffered two different injuries that were in addition to the one that he was already dealing with. But, I mean, theoretically, he'll be healthy. I mean, the Brewers have all the medicals on him. It won't cost much. The Brewers need bullpen depth. The real answer here is they need bullpen depth.
Okay.
Why not Trevor Rosenthal? Other than the lingering sour taste that is in their mouths.
I will say that I have always liked how the Brewers built their bullpens. They seem to have a pretty good knack for finding guys in weird places. I know their pro scouting has taken some criticism over the years for not having a lot of bodies, so I guess I'm doubly impressed then that they've been able to do that. They do throw a lot of stuff at the wall and some of it sticks. And so they don't have to they don't have to spend big money on relievers. No good team usually does, other than, you know, maybe those very top guys. And yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe Trevor Rosenthal coming back healthy would actually benefit them. I know they love him. They didn't sign him, but then they traded for him like a couple weeks later. So I know they really they are a fan, and he's had a good track record. But I mean that's a bring him in on a minor league deal or with an invite to spring training, obviously, and see what happens. That's I don't know. All right. You got any more? Or is it my turn?
Yeah, back to you.
Oh, man. You know, and I've been surfing around, and it's hard to find. I guess it's more of an idea, but we'll throw out a guy like Mitch Haniger, former Brewers farmhand for Seattle. He's 32 years old, three-win player. He's had some injury issues, but all-star caliber outfielder. And the question isn't so much about whether it's Mitch Haniger or any other outfielder. It's whether it's an outfielder at all. They've been able to bring in guys in the past who, you know, when they have a surplus at a certain position – the Brewers are perceptibly loaded in the outfield because obviously you have Christian Yelich and Hunter Renfro, unless they decide they want to move Hunter Renfro, which is on the table, which is why I think maybe Mitch Haniger might make sense if they decide that Hunter Renfro is an asset that they can use to acquire something else, starting pitching, catching, that sort of thing. I could see a Renfro for a catcher pretty easily. And then they've just got a host of guys in the minors who play the outfield, namely Garrett Mitchell, Sal Frelick, and Joey Weimer. I think Sal Frelick is a big leaguer this year, and I think he makes a big impact, quite honestly. The steamer projections love the man, and I think, obviously, Garrett Mitchell was here at the end of last year, and he acquitted himself well, so I think he gets a chance to replicate that and play some center field in this next year as well. I don't know what that means for Tyrone Taylor, but I think Tyrone Taylor probably can't be counted out. He's in the mix in some level as a bench outfielder, if nothing else. All of this is to say is they have outfielders coming out of their ears. And when they have a situation like that, they always tend to add more at that position. This is why I think I could see them adding an outfielder. And Mitch Haniger just jumps to mind as a guy who might be, because of the injuries, might be a little bit undervalued.
Yeah, it's an interesting equation around Hunter Renfro. I believe the Brewers are going to at least tender him a contract. They're not just going to let him walk for nothing because they might trade him. But you can't just let him go out the door for nothing. And so it comes down to, could they get Mitch Haniger for, I don't know, 2 years, $16 million or something like that? Or another guy in right field like Aaron Judge?
Yes. That's.
No, sorry. I meant not Aaron Judge. there's a few other guys like Cole Calhoun, I think, that are on the right field market that are like, that could be serviceable. Maybe not quite as good of hitters. Well, Mitch Haniger has been a really good hitter throughout his career.
He's been great. He's been solid, man.
Injuries have been a bugaboo for
him.
That's what
I'm saying.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's an equation of, okay, can they get a guy for a lesser you know, lesser money in 2023 than Renfroe will cost, and what can they get for Hunter Renfroe? Because if you can't get anything for 1 year of him, then I think it's worth it to run it back with, you know, a guy who is by the numbers your best hitter. So
yeah, all right. You'd be number seven here, so that might be the extent of our list.
I'm gonna wrap it up. Oh, where do I want to go here? Where do I?
I do
go?
Have one outstanding name, and if you don't say it, I will bring it up as well.
Mm-hmm. The thing I've been trying to do, we've been trying to do is hit on the different positions, like, and then a name from there as sort of like a way to talk about what the Brewers are going to do there.
We're kind of out of position.
The one spot we haven't talked about is center field.
Okay.
I mean, we kind of just there discussed some of the options they have. They
bringing Michael A. Taylor. Michael A. into the Brewers?
They already have a bunch of Michael A. Taylor. Sal Frelick and Tyrone Taylor equals Michael A. Taylor.
Okay.
Maybe even better. It's again a question of what do they want to do with some of these young guys. But from what I gleaned from Mark Attanasio's talk with the season seat holders last week was that they are going to react based on what they do with those guys to start the season and throughout the season is going to be based on what they do this offseason. They're not going into it specifically saying, okay, we want Sal Frelick at center field. It'll be reactionary based on what opportunities arise elsewhere. One of those opportunities, Brandon Nimmo, we're going back up to the top of the list there. It probably, again, not going to happen. He's probably going to command a 5-year deal. The Brewers are not exactly in a spot to put him in for 5 years, and I don't know how long he'll last in center field. He has a really bad throwing arm, I think. So that probably doesn't fit, but oh my goodness. Could you imagine? Like, Brandon Nimmo would be a fantastic, consistent fit at the top of this lineup. The question, again, is going to be the price tag. Someone is probably going to, I don't know, throw 5 years, 90,
yeah, that's
100
just
mil.
5 years isn't happening, let alone the price tag to go with it.
And I will say, though, about the 5-year deals, the Brewers have been quite averse to them, and for better or worse.
Who's gotten one besides Lorenzo Cain?
It's Lorenzo Cain. I don't know if anyone's gotten. Josh Lindblom got a
three-year deal,
I think.
Yeah. That didn't work out.
Colton Wong's was two with a club option.
Correct.
That turned into a 3-year deal. So it just it has not happened. So I don't see it happening. But I do think the Brewers need to not be completely they can't be afraid to swing and miss in the final couple years of a deal to get really good value on the front end of a deal.
Yeah.
I think Brandon Nimmo for $20 million this year is fantastic value.
It's just about what they have to add on to get that.
And so, yeah, it's good to be somewhat concerned about what's going to happen down the road. At the end of the day, you are the Brewers. You're not the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have a window open right in front of you.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying necessarily Brandon Nimmo's the guy to pay, but you can't be totally averse to some long-term commitment that may not be return the value you want in year four.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, the Cain deal, I think we could have looked at it in 2018 and be like, yeah, it's probably going to be a bad tale. And it was. Obviously injuries had something to do with that. Of course, Christian Yelich got a 9-year deal, but that's a whole separate category, I think. I'm going to throw one more name out there, and it's same vein as Jose Abreu. It's Josh Bell, a guy that we were really hoping, I think, that the Brewers could acquire midseason because he fits so well with what Milwaukee is doing, the switch hitter, first base. It would be the same type of thing. You would essentially have to have a DH being either Josh Bell or Rowdy Tellez. And so that is the same problem I was dealing with before where you box in your DH. But more than that, I think he was just so bad in San Diego. So maybe that's going to lower his price tag a little bit. And that might make things a little bit easier for the Brewers to afford him. I don't know if that's the case, though. I think he's probably just what we were talking about. I think it's a 5-year deal situation, and that means that they're not going to be able to afford
it. You think Josh Bell's going to get 5 years?
No, not five. But it's like, going to be like 3 or 4, and probably, well, I guess I don't even know. I don't know 3 or 4, but I don't think they'll get him. I don't think Josh Bell is something they'll eye up, but he's only 30 years old. I mean, he could still be a really huge contributor for some team, and I feel like Milwaukee would suit him very, very well. As we're doing this, Kurt, we have breaking news.
We were wrong.
We were wrong about Brad Boxberger.
The Brewers have claimed Tyson Miller off waivers from Texas, and I know nothing about him, but they buried the lead here in this announcement. They declined the club option on Brad Boxberger, which was a $3 million club option, and then if I remember correctly, it was a $0.75 million buyout. So essentially saving $2 million to not retain Brad Boxberger, which is
curious.
A bit of, yes, it's curious. I mean, we'll see
extremely
how
extremely
curious. We'll see how the rest of the puzzle shapes up here, but you get 70,
that throws us off guard.
70 innings out of a a pretty steady reliever, probably spec somewhere like a 3 ERA. That inning load is by itself pretty valuable, and he's he would have been the number 3 guy in the bullpen as it currently shapes up. So as we were talking, they need bullpen depth, and they just depleted it a little bit. Now, we'll see how it shapes up with the rest of the roster moves. Free agency has not begun yet.
The one rule is you never talk about breaking news on a podcast because it's nonsense, because someone's going to be hearing this weeks from now and be like, yeah, I knew Brad Boxberger. But it's just funny that we just mentioned it. And, I mean, I hope that's an indication that they – well, I shouldn't say hope, but, like, I wonder if that's an indication that they are trying to save that money because that's almost nothing. Really, in the big picture, or they truly just don't believe that Brad Boxberger will come back at that level. They've kind of, I don't want to say they've jerked him around, but like, remember last year, in the 2021 season, he didn't make the team out of camp. He could have been claimed, I think, by anybody, chose to stick around, got called up almost immediately, became a central part of their bullpen. And then this past year, they declined. I don't quite remember how that all worked, but they had to re-sign him. Like, it looked like they declined whatever option, and it looked like their time with Brad Boxberger would be over, and then they brought him back. So maybe, again, they're going to bring him back. I don't know. I guess, rule that out. Tyson Miller, not a guy who's had a lot of big league experience. The little he's had has been very bad. The minor league numbers are just okay. I don't know if I wouldn't be too worked up yet there with what Tyson Miller brings to the table. But we just talked about how they find guys in different places and see what sticks. And maybe that's the case here. He's only 27 years old, so we'll see.
Yeah, there's many ways to build a bullpen. And there were some underlying numbers, I think, that said Boxberger was due for some regression.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm guessing, what the Brewers are going off. But it is interesting, though, because they talked about the Colton Wong option as if it was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And there seemed to be some mystery as to whether or not they would bring him back at that price tag. So the thinking was, you bring Wong back for $8 million, essentially, then the Boxberger $2 million will be nothing. So.
Yep.
Once again, it proves that we do this stuff, and we never know any idea what they're like.
Yeah,
it feels like we are always so far off.
Do you think we've kind of touched on this in the last episode with David Stearns stepping aside. Is there a little feeling out period here where Matt Arnold, we don't really know how Matt Arnold's going to operate this team, or do you just sort of assume he's going to operate it the same way David Stearns did?
Similarly, but there will be differences, and that's what's most interesting about this offseason is how does he handle, I guess, the balance between win now and the farm system and building that up, and I guess in short, the bites of the apple. And we'll kind of get a good look at that this offseason, because there's a lot of pivotal things that could be done, a lot of things that could not be done. I mean, they could sit on their hands and probably trot out a team that they would think could still compete for the division. So in theory, they'll be similar, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he was his right-hand man for everything over the last
thing, yeah.
8 years. But as we know, people are different.
All right, Kurt, any last thoughts before I send you away?
No.
No.
No,
that's
this
it.
Has been fun.
Yes, a little off-season Brewers action to keep you engaged here a little bit. As always, it'll probably be a few weeks before you hear from us again. Maybe they'll make a big move. Maybe they'll sign Aaron Judge.
Emergency pod.
If they sign Aaron Judge, how many emergency podcasts is that worth? Because that's not just
we
one.
We might just do a 24-hour emergency pod.
24-hour emergency marathon?
We could set up shop outside the stadium and just allow people to – it's like talk radio, but in person.
We're going to put ourselves on YouTube and just do live streaming. We're just talking about it. Half of it is just going to be like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. We're just going to say that over and over.
Let's fan the flames a little bit here. The Brewers have had internal discussions about Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, man.
Internally,
internal discussions.
They have disgust.
Yes.
Them.
At some point, one person in the front office turned to the other person and said, oh, Aaron Judge is good, huh? That's the internal discussion. All right, Kurt. Well, thanks for joining again. He is Kurt Hoag, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, and thanks for tuning in to this off-season edition of Microbrew. We'll be back at you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.